Taking your dog to a park can be a very fun outing for both of you, but there are some things you probably need to know before you go. Up next, we have the author of a great new book that will help you find out what those things are. I'm Jill Nadeau. Glad to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Our guest is Danielle St. Louis. She's a hiker and a dog lover and runs the Adventure Dog blog and Instagram account, Wisconsin State Park Dogs, which features tips for hiking and favorite outdoor travels. And we're going to talk about her new book. It's called A Dog Lover's Guide to Hiking Wisconsin Parks. Do you have a hike? You like to hike with your dog? What questions do you have about taking your dog to state parks? Well, we'd like to hear from you. Our lines are open, 800-642-1234. Or you can send an email to WPR or to ideas at WPR.org. Well, hello there, Danielle. It's so good of you to join us today.
Hi, Jill. It's great to be here. I'm really excited to talk with you today.
Yeah, well, I've been excited too because I've been reading your book and I just got a dog and I think I need to hit some state parks. So
that's great. What kind of dog did you get?
He's a rescue from Texas who is a mix of a bunch of different dogs, but they say shepherd in particular, but he loves to go on walks. So so time for us to hit the trails, I think.
Yeah, it's that time of year.
Yeah, for sure. Now, you hike with your dog, Lucky. Why don't you tell us a little bit about him?
Yeah, sure. So Lucky is also a rescue from Oklahoma. He's a Border Collie Black Lab mix and is very, well, he's starting to slow down now. He's 13. But when I first adopted him as a one-year-old dog, he was super energetic, lots of energy. And needed a lot of exercise. And so hiking was something that we could do together to both get exercise. And so that's what we started doing, was hiking together.
Yeah, that's it's a great idea, especially, well, your dog breed is definitely going to need a lot of exercise. So I can see why. So what kind of training did you have to go through with him before you could actually safely go on hikes with him?
Sure. So Lucky is also a reactive dog, which means that he overreacts to a lot of different situations and stimulus. You know, people walking by, children doing really anything, other animals. He would bark and lunge at these things in his environment. So we did a lot of force-free behavior modification training. So we worked with a professional trainer here in, I'm in the Madison area. So we worked with a professional trainer on learning how to modify those behaviors and give myself more confidence in taking him out into public places, because it was always very stressful and hard for me to know if I was going to be able to control him when we'd go out. So we worked on getting my confidence up and getting his confidence up and working on his focus. So that was really the training that we did. And then we learned some really helpful types of things to use on the trail, like certain commands like leave it. So like, don't eat that dead fish that you just found along the beach. Those types of commands too also are pretty helpful when you're out on the trail.
I would think so. Yeah, that leave it one has got to be hard because those dead fish look awfully good to those dogs.
Yeah.
So what gave you this idea to write this book on and focusing in on the state parks in particular?
Sure. It was a combination of several different things that all sort of came together and came into this book. I am originally from the Milwaukee area and had moved away from the state for school and jobs and came back after about 12 years. And so then as an adult coming back to Wisconsin, I wanted to learn more about my home state. And I thought going to the parks would be a great way to do that, to see more of Wisconsin and learn about it. And then there was, of course, the need to get exercise with Lucky. And then additionally, I had gone to a state park after having read that there was a dog beach there. And I had also just had a previous experience at a dog beach in Chicago that was amazing. And it was on Lake Michigan and beautiful. And so when I got to this particular dog beach at the state park, I realized that the term beach was used really liberally. And so I just realized that there wasn't the kind of information that I wanted to know about that was related to my experience with my dog. So not a lot of detail on what those pet specific areas are actually like. And then also because of Lucky's reactivity, I really wanted to know things like how wide are the trails? Because we like to take a wide berth around other hikers, and particularly other hikers with dogs. We like to have a lot of space in those situations. So there was just a lot of specific information, more than whether a dog is allowed here or not, because it's fairly easy to find like whether dogs are allowed or not allowed. But just like things that would enrich our experience and help us make decisions about which parks to visit and which trails to hike.
Mm-hmm. Totally makes sense. And that's where a lot of books get written, because there's nothing out there like it. So, and you do have a lot of really good information in there for someone who's going to the park, even if you don't have a dog with you. So it's a good book to pick up. What are the basic rules for taking your dog to a state park? Because there's overreaching for all of them, right?
Yes, there are some general rules that apply to all state parks. And those are the basics, right? So your dog has to be on a leash at all times. There are also specifications about the type of leash. So you are not supposed to be using a flexi leash in state parks. So it has to be like an 8-foot leash that doesn't expand and contract with wherever your dog goes. And then the general rule of you have to pick up after your dog is in effect in all parks. And then generally dogs aren't allowed in picnic areas. So it's a general rule that most picnic areas dogs are not allowed in, and some parks do provide a specific pet picnic area. So those are some of the general rules that apply to all parks.
But you wrote that each park kind of has its own individual take on those rules. How do you find out then? Do you have that written in the book? Okay.
So I do comment about parks that have more restrictive rules, because some parks beyond those general rules have very specific, and even when you show up at the park, they'll provide you with a pet specific map that shows you here are the areas you can take your dog and here are the areas you can't. And I also comment on parks that had a much more carefree attitude towards you and your dogs being in the park. I remember visiting Rib Mountain State Park up by Wausau, and I was like, which do you have a pet picnic area? And the park attendant was like, what do you mean? They can go everywhere. You can take your dog to any picnic area you'd like. So it's definitely variable between the parks. And I do comment on which ones have looser sort of approaches to dogs and which ones have more strict rules. But I also always recommend just checking with the park staff when you arrive, because those designations may change. And I did see, even in my years of researching and writing the book, some parks become more restrictive or add additional rules. So,
And let's talk about the book now. You've laid it out really well. You've got the parks listed alphabetically by region. And why did you decide to do it by region? And how did you come up with those regions?
Sure. I actually used the regions that the DNR has sort of already set the parks into. So I was working within their organizational system, but the regions are really helpful if you're thinking about taking like a longer weekend and you want to visit a couple parks. So some of our parks are small and can be easily done in a day. So if you want to take a long weekend, like a Memorial Day weekend that's coming up, and you want to, you know, check a couple parks off, the ones that are grouped regionally would be more likely ones that you could do within one trip. So that's why I felt like regions were a good way to organize it. And also because they have similar qualities and characteristics then. So like parks in like the Driftless region will have more similar geology and things like that.
Sure. Well, that totally makes sense. Now you've got some other information. So let's just talk about some of the things that you've included. What should hikers know about water availability? It seemed like you need water, but it's a little more complicated than that, isn't it?
Sure. Yeah, there are definitely parks that have a lot of water options and water is readily available. And then there are other parks that are less developed and do not offer any water spigots at all. So my recommendation is always bring water with you from home. Also seasonally, sometimes water spigots will be turned off. So depending on if you're going during like a shoulder season or in the winter, you might not have that option. So the recommendation is always bring water with you, especially, my dog Lucky loves to drink from streams and lakes and on all those like natural bodies of water. And while I try to prevent that as much as possible, because there can be things living in those bodies of water that aren't great for his his body and can cause intestinal upset and other more serious diseases. So it's always best to keep our dogs from drinking out of those natural water sources. My vet just gives the common rule of thumb, like, if you wouldn't drink water from there, don't let your dog drink water from there. So it's always best to bring water along just in case you're not gonna be able to get it at the park. I do note where water is available at parks or if a park does not have water at all.
Okay, that makes total sense. And you just mentioned earlier about the designated dog swimming areas. What are those general rules for dogs and swimming at parks?
Sure. I also always recommend checking when you get to the park to see if they've changed their designations, because sometimes they'll add a dog swim area or they'll have like an unofficial dog swim area. But for official dog swim areas where they'll say like, hey, we've carved out this little part of beach or this area along the waterway, this is where you can take your dog. In those spaces, the general rule of thumb is that your dog can be off leash as long as it is in the water. But once your dog comes out of the water, you're supposed to re-leash your dog. And that's a little challenging, right? Dogs like to go in and out of water and run around a bit. So I've seen some parks enforce that rule more stringently, like Whitefish Dune State Park, which has a beautiful dog beach, has a bit more rigor in their enforcement of that rule. And then other parks have a little bit more casual approach to that specific rule.
And that makes sense too. Now, what do you do? And I'm sure this has happened where other park goers are maybe unhappy about the dog being in the area or wondering if you're following the rules. How do you deal with that?
Well, I always encourage everyone visiting a state park with their dog to follow the rules so that we are, you know, law-abiding visitors and we don't end up resulting in more restrictions happening. I think the best way to handle situations like that is to over-communicate with other people at the park. You know, make sure, did you know that your dog needs to be on a leash right now? And yeah, just be nice about it.
And everybody be nice. That please, yeah. Everybody be nice.
We're all just trying to enjoy the outdoors together, and we need to be respectful and considerate of each other in doing that. So just communicating in a friendly way.
And one of the things you brought up in your book, and we're going to be breaking for news in just a little bit, but is trail etiquette, mm-hmm. especially the leash issue. And you've run across a number of people who just don't put their dogs on a leash, right?
Yeah. And that can be really hard and challenging, especially, I mean, for all dogs, but for a dog like mine that's reactive. And I know people know their own behaviors of their dog, and they'll be like, my dog is friendly, but you don't know my dog's situation. So it's a bit of a risk to allow your dog, not a bit, it's a big risk to allow your dog to approach other dogs off leash. So it's a challenge. And I always recommend, you know, keeping your dog on leash. And then in those trail etiquette situations, always just yielding to other people, you know, pulling aside and letting everyone else pass so okay. that you're in control of your dog situation.
Well, perfect. We're talking about taking your dog on a hike with Danielle St. Louis. We're going to break for a little news, but our lines are open, 800-642-1234. This is the Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Nadeau. We're talking about hiking Wisconsin state parks with your dog. Our guest is Danielle St. Louis. She runs the Adventure Dog blog and Instagram account called Wisconsin State Park Dogs. It features tips for hiking and favorite outdoor travels. And she's got a great new book out. It's called A Dog Lover's Guide to Hiking Wisconsin's State Parks. What questions do you have about taking your dog hiking? What state park is your favorite for hiking with your canine companion? Give us a call at 800-642-1234, or you can send us an email, and that's ideas@wpr.org. And Danielle, we do have a caller, Tom in Waupaca. Hi, Tom.
Good morning. Very nice show. Thank you for doing it. I live in Waupaca, and we're near Hartman Creek State Park, and I can take my dog there on a leash. We have a cabin up in Bayfield County, and I can take my dog out on a leash at Amicon Falls or Patterson Park. But I'm frustrated when I go to Copper Falls State Park, that you can't take your dog out hardly of the car, even on a leash. And I wonder where that policy comes from and who you would talk to try to change that policy to see if you could have your dog out on a leash at Copper Falls.
Great question, Tom. Do you know, Danielle?
That is a great question, Tom. And I, so I have taken Lucky on leash hiking on the other trails, like the cross-country ski trails that they, at Copper Falls, that they turn into. So there's trails that they turn into cross-country ski trails. I can't remember the exact names. I'm sure they're the ones that I recommend in the book. But the main trails, you're right, the trails that take you to see Copper Falls and all of the other main attractions at that park are not available to dogs. I'm not sure who we would go about lobbying to get that rule changed. I would imagine we would need to start with talking to the DNR. Maybe the Friends of Copper Falls State Park would be a good resource as well. And I think it's also unfortunate. I will give a little shout out to the pet picnic area at Copper Falls. They do have a fairly large pet picnic area, and it's much more scenic than that at some of the other state parks. So if you do have a group and have the ability to have one person stay with the dog at the pet picnic area while the other people in your party go and hike those trails and see the falls, that's one option that I recommend for visiting that park with a dog. But you're right, it is challenging, and there are other parks that also the main attractions or most interesting things at the park are also in restricted areas where you can't take your dog. So it is unfortunate. But there are other less hiked trails that we get to find then at those parks.
Great point. Thanks for the question, Tom. And pick up the book. You'll appreciate it, I'm sure. And let's just talk about those hikes themselves. What information do you include about them in the book?
Sure. So at each park, I make a recommendation for a hike, and I try to vary that recommendation from something that's more challenging to easier, because I really do want more Wisconsinites to be able to get out into the parks and adventure with their dogs. And there's all Wisconsinites have different levels of fitness. And so I give you a recommended hike, and I detail information from where to park for that hike, which direction you should go if it's a loop, and then notable things along that hike. If there are areas where it's particularly narrow and you're going to need to potentially navigate a close pass if there are other people on the trail, other things about the types of materials you're going to encounter. Some people's dogs aren't able to or are scared of hiking on certain types of materials. So I make note of the materials, which is also helpful for choosing your own footwear. And then other things that are notable to see along the hike. So pointing out points of interest and that sort of thing. So just the general experience that you'll come across when you go through that hike. And then I also, with some of the parks where it was hard for me to choose just one, I'll maybe throw out like a worth a mention kind of hike, and other ways to either make the recommended hike longer or shorter, depending again on what you need.
How many times did you go to these parks to get all this information?
Oh my gosh, I was actually last night trying to add up. So there are 47 parks included in the book. I visited many of them multiple times. So I wasn't able to come to a final number, but I've been to a lot of parks many times.
I thought when I saw all the information you've got packed in there, I'm like, that's not from one trip. So.
No, it did take, the whole process took 5 years from beginning the project to being here now. So it was an investment of time and energy for sure.
For sure. Well, we got an email from Marilyn in Ellison Bay, and she is a preserve steward and does a lot of hiking trail maintenance and other such activities in parks. She has not been successful for the most part in requesting that dog owners keep their dogs on a leash. She explained that there are ground nesting birds, other animals, such as porcupines and skunks, that could create a lot of havoc for the pet. And most often she gets a very defensive answer of, but my dog always listens to me and comes if I called him or her. Marilyn also gets a fair number of angry responses. She's any suggestions on how to tactfully handle this in a convincing fashion? Oh, Marilyn.
Yeah, Marilyn, I feel you. I also, when I ask other dog owners to leash their dogs around my dog, get very similar responses. And I, as a dog owner, try to approach that from a position of, if you would like to continue to bring your dog here, this is just the requirement. And then make recommendations for other off-leash dog areas that people can take their dog if that's the kind of experience they'd like to have. So I do feel for you. That's tough. And one of the things I recommend, or I try to emphasize in the book, is that respectful, responsible stewardship of the trails that we're on with our dogs, and keeping them on leash for that reason. There's so many good reasons to keep your dog on leash. Preserving the trails and respecting the flora and fauna is part of it. And the safety is another big part of it too. So
yeah, we want to keep our nature areas natural. So thank you, Marilyn, so much for sharing that with us. And I hope people maybe who are listening and keep their dogs off leash will think twice about it, and for their safety too, especially. Let's go to the phones. Anne in Madison. Hi, Anne.
Hi. I'm very grateful to hear there are places where dogs are not allowed, because I take foreign students from the university to go to parks, and many of them come from cultures where dogs are not always safe. And I have dealt with foreign students who are frightened to be approached by an unleashed dog. And when we approach a leashed dog, they're still climbing off the trail and just grateful that it won't get to them. So I would get your book to find out where I can take people where they won't be frightened. And I think people who take their dogs unleashed where they're supposed to be leashed are doing a disservice to the dog owning community.
Absolutely. Thanks for sharing that with us, Anne. Comments, Danielle?
Anne, I really agree that it is a disservice to the dog community at large when people aren't abiding by those rules, because it's only going to make rules more and more restrictive. And as far as places where dogs aren't allowed, there are two state parks that don't allow dogs at all. Copper Culture and Heritage Hills State Park, dogs are not allowed in those parks at all. So I don't actually talk about those parks in my book, other than to say that you can't take your dog there, but they might be ones you'd be interested in visiting for that purpose. There are other parks, Coulerandre State Park. There's a large section of that park where dogs are not allowed in that area at all. There's definitely some options if you're looking to avoid dogs.
Great to know. Thanks for that call. Again, you've got all this great information, not only about the trails and the parks themselves, but you've got some general information. And you had a great list of what to pack when you hike. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah, I think the list is kind of exhaustive. I like to be over-prepared in most situations. So if you were to ask me what the bare minimum things are, the bare minimums for hiking with your dog are obviously a leash and a collar or a harness, your dog poop bags, water, a water dish. And then I always recommend bringing some snacks for both you and your dog. So that's sort of the bare minimum requirements that I would say that you would need. You can look at getting a backpack for your dog so that your dog can carry items. Lucky does sometimes hike with his backpack on, depending on the temperature and that sort of thing. And I like to use the backpack so that he can carry his own poop out of the park. And then there are other specialty kinds of things. You know, there's a lot of accessories that you can get at this point. Some people's dogs like to hike with booties on. Lucky doesn't particularly care one way or the other, so we don't use hiking booties for him. But there's a lot of different accessories that you can get. But the main things you need are your leash, collar, water, a water dish. And then, I'm going to mention also insect repellent. So ticks are a big problem, and they're only becoming more and more of a problem, more prevalent. State parks are starting now to sell insect repellent with DEET because of how bad the ticks are. But so just, yeah, make sure that you're bringing tick repellent and a tool to remove ticks from your dog. It's best to check your dog after you hike.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you check when you're done with the hike, and make sure that your dog is up to date with
you know, all of the stuff that they need to take care of those ticks and mosquitoes and fleas and all the nasty stuff. And you had a story that you had with another dog, and there was an actual medical emergency for your pet. Talk a little bit about what happened and what should people know before they go.
Sure. Yeah. So just like people, there's the potential for there to be a medical emergency or a medical issue with your dog. My other dog, who is no longer with us, little man, who's a chihuahua with epilepsy. So he had a seizure disorder. And during a visit to Governor Thompson State Park, he had a bout of seizures. And I ran out of his medication because I had never needed to use all of it in one go before. And so it was a very stressful, difficult time. We were in an area where I had very little cell service. And so just trying to find out what my options were for getting to an emergency vet, it was a really scary experience. We did end up driving into Green Bay and going to an emergency vet that was open for 24 hours. And I did have to leave him there overnight because he continued to have seizures. So it was a really scary experience. And so what I have included in the book in the back are phone numbers and addresses and then distance from the park. So it's all of the closest, both local veterinarians and 24-hour veterinarians to each park.
Well,
that if you find yourself in that situation, you have the information for you.
Yeah, I thought that was a wonderful thing to include because you're in a panicky situation. You have no cell phone reception. I mean, you'd have no idea where to go and how to get there and how far it is. So I'm really glad you added that. So a good thing to have. And it's just so everybody knows, this is a fairly small paperback book. So it's something that you could definitely have your dog haul in and out for you on their backpack.
Yeah.
for sure. So a listener called and couldn't stay with us, but they said an alternative to hiking in state parks that don't allow dogs is to hike in state forests instead. Have you had any experience doing that, Danielle?
Yeah, we have visited some state forests, and that's definitely another option. I actually don't know that the state forest rules are different. I would assume that you're also supposed to be keeping your dog on leash in a state forest. But for the purpose of this book, because there are so many recreation areas in Wisconsin, I did limit it just to the state parks, because otherwise I would have been hiking for another 5 years.
Still out there, right?
Yeah.
So maybe addition two. we'll do
some
other ones, right? So Tekla from Beaver Dam called, and she said, wants to know where your favorite place to hike is and where you recommend first-time hikers go.
Oh, those are great questions. So I have a couple of favorites based on proximity, right? So my favorite park, because it's beautiful, but it's a bit of a hike, so I don't get to go there as often, as Big Bay State Park on Madeline Island. Beautiful. So highly recommend, but I can't just like go there on any old weekend. So locally here in the Madison area, I really enjoy Governor Dodge State Park and Mirror Lake. Those are two of my favorites that are close enough that we can go out for a day hike and spend some time. Both have water options, and Governor Dodge has two dog specific pet areas. So it's got some options there too. And those are some of our favorites.
I'm sure they'll be very busy this weekend with our first 3-day weekend of the season.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, John, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. The second part of her question was first time hikes, right?
Thank you.
And I just want to note that I would recommend going to some of the smaller, less popular parks for your first time, just because sometimes the crowds can be a bit overwhelming for humans and dogs alike. So there are a couple smaller parks that aren't as much of a challenge to navigate. So like a great first time park would be like Aslan State Park.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's like really interesting and small and like the hike will not be challenging. You can just like dip your toe in the water there.
It's very close to where I live, and I've been there a number of times. It's beautiful and nice and wide open spaces. So yeah, that's a great choice. Now, John and Kimberly wrote us that he has been bitten twice by dogs, and both in state parks, and both were not on leashes. And of course, the owner said before the bite, "My dog doesn't bite." And after the bite, both owners asked, "Why did you do? What did you do to my dog?" So John is not a fan of dogs in parks, unfortunately, and I can understand why. Irresponsible owners. It's really not the dog's fault, is it?
Yeah, it's not. And I, that kind of thing breaks my heart. And I'm really sorry that that was the experience that they had. And it is really unfortunate because it isn't the dog's fault. The dog didn't make a choice to not be on leash. The owner made a decision that was irresponsible. And I really do emphasize in the book, like, your dog should be on leash at all times, because it's what's right, to respect your dog, to do right by your dog, to do right by the other visitors at the park, and to make sure that we can all continue to use the parks together. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, is remembering other people's rights. So, yeah. Thank you, John. And I'm really sorry that that happened to you. Got very frustrating to go out and enjoy the park and get bit. That's by a dog, not a bear or something else. So, so one of the things that you had mentioned in the book is some things you could bring along for emergency situations that you maybe need to treat the dog for. You know, a toenail gets torn off, or there's a cut on a paw, or something like that. Give us an idea of some of the things that we could bring along with us. They don't take up tons of space, but are really important to have.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think the one that you mentioned about the nail is probably one of the most common things that might happen to your dog, is like their dew claw or nail will get stuck on something when they're hiking and rip. So just always having some nail trimmers, and then some of the styptic powder, where you just like stick the nail in the powder. And those are small items that you can just bring along with you. I have a first aid kit that's like human first aid kit, plus a couple little extra things for dog specific use. So just having a towel in your car, even if you don't bring it with you on your hike, just having something that's available to like clean up anything that might happen is also good. And again, that tick removing tool, always have that on you.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good list of things. And then there's another section on all these parks that's called the experience select section, and lots of really great information. Why don't you talk a little bit about that and why you decided to add it?
Sure. Yeah. So the experience section is really where I walk through the experience of that recommended hike and what you can expect as you go through that hike. Some of those experience sections are short because there's just not as much happening on that hike. And some of them are a bit more involved, particularly if there's a lot of areas where you're going to want to stop and explore, geological features or other interesting things happening along that route. So I wanted to, again, I like to have more information and to know what I'm getting myself into. So I essentially tried to provide you with an idea of what that entire experience would be like before you get into that experience.
And there is a lot of really good tidbits in there. So yeah. Good thing to read. And anything else in the book that we didn't talk about that you think it's important for people to know?
Well, I did try to include information about the park's histories at the beginning of each century. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to do that because I am also a person who has interests outside of dogs. So part of why I was doing this project was to learn more about the state and its history. And I hope that the introductions to the parks are interesting and enriching for the people that are bringing their dogs to these parks, because while it's really important for us to focus on our dogs, we also need to enjoy things for us too.
That's a really good point. I learned things about some of these parks that I had no clue. So yeah, that's a great thing to include with that. And tell us a little bit about this blog that you do. What do you post on it?
Sure. So the blog is actually more of the tales of our individual park visits. And then it was like everything that was happening as we were going through the research. And then the guidebook is more about like your, how to replicate sort of that experience in terms of what trails you should do or not do and that sort of thing. So when I post on the blog, it's more specifically about the story of a visit. So one of the most recent posts was from a pandemic era visit to Governor Dodge, where I had this idea in my mind of how our visit was going to go. And then it details how it really went, which was not at all how I expected it to go. So they're more like the narrative stories of our park visit.
Okay, well, great. Well, we should check it out. And what is it called again, the blog?
It's called wistateparkdogs.com is the blog. And then the Instagram handle is wistateparkdogs.
Okay, so super, super. So what's next then? Are you going to write another book about dogs?
I don't know just yet. We'll see. We'll see.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for being with us, Danielle. We really appreciate it. And get out there and have some fun this summer with Lucky.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you, Jill. And I hope you have a great time with your dog out in the parks, too.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We've been talking with Danielle St. Louis. She is the author of A Dog Lover's Guide to Wisconsin, Hiking Wisconsin State Parks. Join us tomorrow when we talk about the American Players Theater in Spring Green and take a look at public art in our state. That's tomorrow on the Ideas Network. Hope you can join us. I'm Jill Nadeau, sitting in for Larry Mueller. Stay well.